Thank you all so much. I appreciate that. Appreciated the old happy day. Appreciated that. Just appreciating everything. That's just powerful for all of us. And I thank you for that. And at this time, I have some assistants, and I'm calling them forward to help me with my sermon today. And so, if my assistants would please come forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any time. If only you had known you were going to be called on to do this. All right. All right. So, they are distributing gifts of candy. All right, I would like for each of you to get one. They are gluten-free, peanut-free. I'm not saying you have to eat it. I'm just saying please take one. All right, please make sure everybody gets one. Okay? Oy. It's not real complicated, right? See? They're going to come by, they're going to give you a piece of candy, you're going to keep it. You're not going to eat it, you're not going to unwrap it, you don't, you know, you're just going to take it. That's it. So as they're doing that, have you all been watching the Winter Olympics? Anybody here into the Winter Olympics? All right, we got two people. There you go. Yes. Because I'm all about having my hand on the pulse of our congregation and doing everything that you guys do. I know all about that stuff. And I have to be honest, I'm not a fan of the Winter Olympics either, but somebody in the house is. And so this is my way of supporting what's going on with that. But these are athletes who they are amazing. It's not that nobody else knows how to skate or nobody else knows how to ski. It's that nobody knows how to do it at the level that they are able to do it at. They are just amazing in the way that they're able to accomplish all of those things. And it is remarkable to me what they're able to do and what they're able to achieve. And I think sometimes we think of leaders as being like that. But that's not the way God looks at leaders. God has a history of using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. If you take time and you review all the calls that God has given to do people, they weren't looking for it. Most of them aren't qualified for it. They get chosen simply because God has called them. They just called for them, and God chose them. You look at the history. Look at Abram and Sarah. You got Deborah. You got Esther. You got Ruth. You got Martha. You got Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, you can read. Read the Bible. Read history. Look at the church. A guy named Drew Dudley was walking across the college campus, and on his last day of school, and another student approached him and said, "I heard you were leaving. And before you do, I wanted to tell you, I remember the day we met. Because meeting you changed my life." And she went on to tell him that they had met on her first day of college. And the day before, in a hotel room with her parents, she had broken down in tears, scared and convinced that she wasn't ready. But her parents told her, "Look, let's just go the first day. Let's just go tomorrow. And if at any point you feel too scared, if at any point you feel you can't do it, if you really can't do it, that's fine. We'll take you home. We love you no matter what." So the next day, the woman is standing in line with her parents, waiting to register for classes, and she looks around at the other students, and this feeling came over her that she just knew she couldn't do it, knew she wasn't ready. And she turned to tell her parents this when she saw Drew Dudley coming out of the student union building, wearing, she said, the stupidest hat she had ever seen. And carrying a sign that was promoting a student-run charity and a bucket of lollipops. And he walked right up to where she stood, turned to the student next to her, gave him a lollipop and said, You need to give a lollipop to this beautiful woman standing next to you. This poor boy turned beet red. I mean, and super, super quick. He was totally embarrassed, put his head down, hung out the lollipop for her to take. He was just so embarrassed. And she takes the lollipop, and then Drew gets this severe look on his face. And he goes to the woman's parents and he says, "Look at that. First day away from home, and she's already taking candy from strangers." The whole line bust out laughing, 20 people in every direction, and they're just breaking out laughing, all these strangers laughing together. And she said, "At that time, I knew I could do this. At that time, I knew I could do this." And she said, "And I registered for the classes, and I stayed in school." She ended up dating that guy and ended up marrying that guy that had given her the lollipop that Drew had convinced her. Now, there are times when it is important to be careful. Teaching our kids to look both ways before they cross the street, checking the medications twice before we take them, wearing seatbelts, not texting while driving. But when it comes to serving God, following Jesus, we are rarely, if ever, called to be careful. Instead, we are invited to answer a call. Isaiah's call came in the year that King Uzziah died. That historical designation is important because it indicates something that was going on, the emotional state of God's people. Uzziah had been anointed king when he was 16 years old, and he reigned for 52 years. He was mostly a good king. He expanded the country's borders, built up its infrastructure. The country prospered. And when a king who has led in relative peace and prosperity for 5 decades dies, it invariably plunges the country into a time of uncertainty and fear. So saying that it was the year King Uzziah died meant it was a year of chaos and uncertainty. When Isaiah had this extraordinary vision of God on a throne, filling every corner of the temple with God's robes, surrounded by heavenly creatures. And Isaiah is aware of his sinfulness, his unclean lips, his unworthiness to have a holy encounter with God. But as you heard when Diana said, Isaiah's sins are forgiven. That's the first thing that happens when we meet God. Our sins are forgiven. Now, some people stop there, and they never move forward from that point, but not Isaiah. So when God asks, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah does not hesitate and says, "Here I am. Send me." And some of you might remember in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, when Jesus calls the first disciples, it was morning, they had worked all night, and this guy whom they had never seen before asked to borrow a boat and have them put out a little bit in the water so that the crowd can hear him as he's teaching them. And after he teaches them, he tells them to go out into the deep water and put down their nets. And they're doubtful, and Peter says, "Look, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything at all." But they humor him. Professional fishermen listening to a carpenter. They don't even have a boat. They go out into the deeper water, and they end up with a catch bigger than what their nets can hold. And when Simon Peter sees this miracle, he responds, just like Isaiah, with astonishment and humility, and says, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner." But Jesus will have none of it. Instead of pushing Peter away, Jesus invites Peter to come closer, to trade the messiness of fishing with the messiness of getting involved personally and meaningfully with God's people. And Peter and James and John leave everything behind to follow Jesus. When Jesus tells those fishermen to go into the deep water to let down their nets, he's not just referring to the literal depth of the water. That Greek word translated there as deep water evokes from the Hebrew Bible of a primordial sea, a symbol of chaos and uncertainty. It is the marine equivalent of the year that King Uzziah died. Put your nets in the deep water, Jesus says. Like it or not, God is never going to call us from chaos to stability, from uncertainty to comfort. God does not call us to shallow waters. God calls us to the deep waters, to enter the chaos, to confront the fear, and most importantly, to encounter God's people along the way. As Jesus' disciples, we are called to participate in the messiness of a life of unconditional love, unilateral forgiveness, radical hospitality, not just for our families or friends, but even for those who are different from us, even for those whose lifestyles or choices or politics don't align with ours. God calls us away from the ease and comfort of shallow waters, to move into the deep waters where life is confusing, people are hurting, injustice is real and undeniable, where mistakes are made and conversations are messy and solutions are complicated. Jesus calls us to the deep water because that's where the fish are. That's where we encounter God's people who are fragile and vulnerable and longing to be loved and changed, and who might change us as well. We may not get to be like Isaiah. We may not get to see God on a throne or God's robe or hear God's voice. And we may not have Jesus in our boat. We don't have boats. But now, each of you have been given a lollipop. This is your lollipop moment. What are you going to do with it? It will make a difference. What are you going to do with it? So you don't get to say, well, God's never called me. Yes, God did. God called you just now. And you have a lollipop in your hand to prove it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Will you risk yourself? Will you risk sharing God's message? Risk sharing God's love, even if it's rejected? Isaiah's was. And yet he laid a foundation of hope so that when Israel was defeated and it was destroyed, the people still had a vision that they would one day be restored. Isaiah laid a foundation of expectation that we still turn to every Christmas, that a Messiah would come who would one day save the people. Remember, Isaiah had firsthand experience with forgiveness and grace. He didn't ask for it. All he did was recognize his sinfulness. He confessed it, and then his sins were forgiven. Certainly, Jesus was rejected. The disciples were rejected. But somehow, the message survived. Somehow, Christianity spread. God's love spread. God's grace spread. 2,000 years later, it's still going on. Remember, the message is not about you. It's not about us. We're just the agents. We're just the instruments. We are just the conduit of God's grace. It's not about success. It's about being faithful. It's about serving, not on our terms at our convenience in calm and shallow waters, but where God leads and calls us to take risk. Our world needs people who are willing to wade into the deep water, to answer the call to share God's good news of love and forgiveness. This is where the opportunity to say, here I am, send me. Yes, we will go with you. We will fish for people. God is calling us into the deep water to follow Jesus, to discover the joy and transformation that occurs when not only we can claim our identity as God's children, called to follow, but to also help others discover their true identity as children of God. Some of you know we were a foster family for a number of years. Mostly we took in babies, infants. But occasionally we'd have an older child come in. One time we were blessed to have Kyle. Kyle was in third grade. Came from a terribly, terribly sad and abusive environment. He was a student at North Grade Elementary School in Mrs. Hunt's class. And part of what they would do every week, they would have a spelling test. And on Mondays, he would get the list of words, and then on Friday, they would have a test, and then, you know, the idea was to pass it. Well, Kyle was not a good student. He'd come from a terrible home environment. He wasn't supported. He wasn't loved. He wasn't taught. But he was willing to work. And every week, Diana and we would go over the words with him, and then one Friday, I come in to pick him up, and kids are totally excited. Usually the kids are telling me what he did wrong. Today they were excited because he passed the spelling test. He got 100%. Yes, and he got a pencil. That was the reward. If you got 100%, you got a pencil. You would have thought it was an Olympic gold medal. Mrs. Hunt and those students who were better behaved and way smarter could not have done more to applaud and affirm Kyle. It was such a touching, wonderful moment for this young boy. It brought tears of joy and hopefully hope to Kyle that there was a possibility that his life did not have to end in that kind of uncertainty. It gave him an opportunity to feel some affirmation of who he was as a child of God, loved and affirmed, not just by God, but by a classroom, by a teacher, by us, his foster parents. A powerful moment for him, a vision of what his life could be. This is African American History Month. As most of you have probably studied about Harriet Tubman, escaped slavery, and then, even though she had escaped, she made it. She was safe. Went back. She continued to risk her life many times in order to free others. And we remember her for her courage, for her perseverance, and her commitment to follow God. And she said, "Twant me, 'twas the Lord. I always told him, I trust to you. I don't know where to go or what to do, but I expect you to lead me." And he always did. God's not calling us to be Moses to lead the people of Israel to the promised land. God is calling us to be who God created us to be. To share the good news so that we can lead people out of the slavery of sin to the promised land of forgiveness. To lead them to a new understanding of their true identities as children of God. Loved and valued, cared for and cherished. And we don't get to excuse ourselves by saying, we never got to hear God. We never got to see God. We don't get to say, we're not the world's best. This isn't the Olympics. This is life. This is lollipop Christianity. You've been given a lollipop, and it represents a call from God. And if you do something with it, it will change your life, and more importantly, it will change the lives of others. And if you change just one person's understanding of who they are, an affirmation of who they are, of what they can do, then we begin to change the world. God has called us to be disciples, and you have a lollipop in your hand to prove it. Christianity is not the Olympics, meant only for a chosen few with special skills. It's meant for all of us who dare to answer God's call, dare to follow Jesus, and dare to share the good news of God's love and grace. Amen.